Welcome to Profit Boss Radio. I'm your host, Hillary Hendershot, certified financial planner and owner of every money mistake you can imagine. I now run a successful financial planning and wealth coaching firm. I'm here to share with you what I learned turning failure into financial freedom. Profit Boss Radio is all about how women like us are authoring our own lives, rewriting the rule book of money, and running incredible businesses. If you like the show, hit subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us that 5-star review. Are you ready, Profit Boss? Let's do this. Did you know that almost 40% of business owners in this country consider themselves to be financially illiterate? Maybe this is you. It's not that you don't know how to grow a business. It's just that you're so in the weeds with the daily rigor of running that business that you're not really clear how much is coming in. And you're definitely not sure why there's so little left at the end of the day. You got into business for the freedom entrepreneurship can offer, but now you just feel like a hamster on a wheel working 24/7 with not much to show for it. If you're totally overwhelmed by your business numbers, I can help. I've worked with hundreds of business owners just like you. I can show you the numbers to take control of your business's profitability, pay yourself more, and heal your relationship with money. But we have to get face to face. See, I want to show you how to become a profit boss. That's the name of this podcast. And I'm going to share my step-by-step approach with you. It's all part of my new live training called How to Own Your Business Numbers and Increase Your Profitability Without Sacrificing Your Purpose, Joy, or Integrity. Sounds great, right? I'm going to share the best of what I've learned working with business owners for 2 decades now. I'm not only going to show you how to identify the leaky faucets in your profit funnel, I'm also going to give you the wrench to fix them. And this is no canned pre-recorded event. I'm going to be 100% live with you, and it's available only for an exclusive period of time. This live training takes place on September 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. That's this September 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. This training can really unlock that next level of success for you. And the best part, besides the fact that we'll be live together, is it's totally free. To register, just go to hillaryhendershot.com/moreprofit. That's hillaryhendershot.com/moreprofit. Grab your seat today, and I can't wait to show you how to become a profit boss. See you in the training. Well, hello, Profit Boss. Welcome to this productive episode of Profit Boss Radio. I have with me a friend and colleague and someone I very much look up to. Her name is Amber De La Garza. She is a coach, trainer, speaker, writer, host of the Productivity Straight Talk podcast. Speaking of writer, she writes great emails, so you definitely should sign up for her email newsletter. She's the creator of the Stop Leverage Formula. That's STOP. It's an acronym. She helps small business owners improve their time management and elevate their productivity to maximize profits, reduce stress, and make time for what matters most. Truly, she is a guru of living a happy life and organizing your time and yourself and keeping all of your systems running. Welcome to the show, Amber.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
I am just so excited to be able to ask all the questions I want to ask because you're so productive. I never feel like I know when I can get on your calendar. So here we go. Here we go. My pent up list of questions. First of all, what is the stop leverage formula? You're not stopping leverage. What are we doing here?
Yeah, absolutely. So STOP means how to learn how to leverage yourself, time, organization, and people. And so it's a 4-pillar framework that if you work on leveraging those 4 areas of your life, your business will increase profits, reduce stress, and make time for what matters most.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, and that's a great pivot. I didn't know it would be such a natural segue, but today we're talking about, so you and I actually were hanging out in lovely Puerto Rico, and we had a conversation about how tightly you manage your calendar. Now, frankly, from my perspective, I get frustrated because I go on other people's podcasts and I find if I try to reschedule something, it's often 6, 8, sometimes 10 weeks out. And I notice that I try to make time for people. If people ask me, I'll rearrange my calendar, I'll move things around, and then I'll end up irritated or annoyed or frustrated or just lacking rest. And I was wondering how to stop that. And you kind of rolled your eyes after I protested you so many times and you said, I'm just not going to say anything else. And I thought, there's something there. There's something huge there, right? And
yes.
So I mulled it over. I thought, what this woman is talking about is really boundaries, rules, and systems that she has around her business. And I'm a fan of systems, and I don't know why I haven't mastered systems for my calendar yet. So that's what you're here for. And I really like this framework of boundaries, because what is your business if you don't have boundaries? You're working all night, you're working on the weekends. And yes, everybody does that in the beginning, but you can't do that forever.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about the boundaries that you run your business by.
Okay, absolutely. So I just want to bring us back to Puerto Rico. I'm pretty sure we both had a drink in our hand. I remember where we were walking when this happened. And I thought, this is opening a can of worms. This isn't the right time. And then fast forward, we had this scheduled. We needed to cancel and you had to reschedule.
Yeah.
And I didn't make an exception. I think we're 4 or 5 weeks out from that initial recording.
Yeah, it's been 5 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. So you're acutely aware it's been 5 weeks. Now, let's just say, Hillary, you're my best friend. You're one of my best friends, and I still didn't make an exception. Why?
Because you're mean.
No, okay. Past being mean is because I run a very structured schedule because my schedule serves me. I don't serve my schedule. I'm going to say that again. My schedule serves me. I don't serve my schedule. And to be completely honest, have I had a white space on my calendar or blocks of project days on my calendar in the last 5 weeks? Absolutely. Also, we were closing out the end of the summer. I had a lot of days off scheduled with no real plans other than I didn't want to work 5 days that week because my son was getting ready to start junior high. So could I have made an exception? Yes. Would I have felt resentment in the minute that I had to get ready and put makeup on and like be prepared for an interview? Yes, because I had intentions of balancing my schedule out with some hold dates. And we can talk further about that.
Yeah.
But essentially, you're right. They were boundaries because I look at how can I run full speed ahead towards my goals while also not burning myself out? And the magic to that is knowing what works for you and then creating that schedule.
Yes. This interview is living proof of the boundaries that you're talking about, because it would have already aired if I had kept our original appointment, and I didn't. So that said, more power to you. And let's talk about, first of all, how do you even begin as an ambitious person, an entrepreneur, to notice and acknowledge the limits of your own energy? For example, do you know that you only want to work an average of 4 days a week, or that you need 4 or 5 weeks a month, a year off? How do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the end of the previous year, so in December for next year, this is when I would do it, is I actually go through and the first thing that I do is get my son's school schedule and I put all the days off that there are. And then I lay over possible vacation days. So if it's a 3-day weekend or it's a week off for Thanksgiving or 2 weeks off, and then I lay over one extra like girls trip, right? So like, I remember when you and I were going back and forth, like, when can I make it to Puerto Rico? And I'm like, this month, this week is really good. I was already looking at my schedule based on other time off. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because you want to put boundaries to your time, because there's something called Parkinson's Law. Parkinson's Law states that tasks expand to the amount of time given. And so if your schedule is open 7 days a week, it's crazy. You could still wish for 8 days. And if you worked 5 days, you would give anything to work a sixth a day. There's always more to do. And so really what this is saying, I know that there's a ton of things that we can do to grow our business and hit that next financial goal and all of our dreams. But our business goals shouldn't be over here at the expense of our personal goals in life. Mm. And what I found is if you're really clear with the life you want to live and you create those goals and you create your business goals, then your schedule needs to work together to serve that.
Okay. So first of all, I talk about Parkinson's Law as it regards doing budgeting by bank account balance. I always say, okay, if you put the money in your checking account, you will spend it. So yes, put it somewhere else. So good. I like that reference. So anyone, when they first start a business, all they have is time. They have no customers. They have no revenue. They have no staff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, workaholics win. So at what point do you start to say, okay, I've got to put some boundaries in? Or did you do it from the very beginning?
So I actually started my business when my son went to preschool. And so I only had real help when he was there for like 3 days a week. So at first, the boundaries were I needed to get everything I needed to get done 3 days a week. And I would start at 3:30 in the morning and work until I woke him up at 7 a.m. for his day, because I had these ambitious goals and I was going to create time and space. And does that work for everyone? No, but those were the boundaries, because I wanted to be, on the days he was home, incredibly present. So it was about being creative. But I do want to share with you, Hillary, that my schedule doesn't look the same this month as it's going to look in the winter, as it's going to look next spring. There are times and seasons, I call them seasons, either seasons in our personal life or seasons in our business, mm-hmm. that require head down. I went through January, February, and March this year. My head was down. Like, we had big projects. I was definitely working 5+ days a week, but that was by choice. And then I take a step back, and then I went to a 4.5-day week, and then to a 4-day week over the summer. And then, you know what? My son's back in school. I'm going to be back to a 5-day week. So what works for you today may not work for you, you know, next month or next season. So my tip here is to be open to what is going to work for you. What does your business need, and what does your personal life need from you? And then adjust the schedule as you're moving in and out of seasons.
Okay. Let's go circle back to the blank calendar for a second. And then I want to talk about the frameworks that you use. So you're looking at 2022. Let's just say you're planning for 2022. How many 3-day weekends do you do? How many vacations?
So we work into that. Meaning, you're not going to start where I'm ending up. I just want to say that. But I have about 9 weeks total of days off scheduled in 2021. So I haven't done 2022 yet.
Right.
And here's the trick, is that every time my son has a professional development day, a 3-day weekend, I mark that off. And here's real life example. I was finishing out reviewing my schedule with my executive assistant this morning for October, November, and December. And I was like, put that day back on my calendar. Clearly, my son's not going to school much in November. So I'll take a couple off. I'm not taking them all off, because we saw that my schedule was being maxed out all the way through November of, like, what does Amber's availability look like? So then I was able to choose to pull some of those back.
Okay.
But I started off with 9 weeks.
Okay. That's just an evolution.
Yeah. First and foremost, I would say start off with 2 weeks. Right? Like, if you leave corporate, you probably got 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. I would grow into it and make a goal that each year you add more days or more weeks. The other thing is that I want to share that we don't need to think of this as all or nothing. So if you hear my 9 weeks and you shut down and you're like, there's no way. Okay, there's no way. But is there a way to get 1 week? Is there a way to get 2 weeks? We're recording this in August. So by the time it goes live, it's September. So in the last quarter of this year, can you get 2 weeks off? Mm-hmm. Like, instead of thinking all or nothing, what pieces can you make your reality now? And when you see that happening as positive proof you can do it, I bet it will be easier to plan 2022 with 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Okay. So you're aligning your days off with your son's school schedule, but are you also taking days where you just don't get out of bed and read a book or wander around in the shops or something?
Yeah. So I call those bonus days, and I just hold them. And so as a coach, I schedule my schedule that my clients meet with me the first and third week or the second, fourth week, right? So many months is there's a fifth Tuesday or a fifth Thursday. My coaching days are Tuesdays and Thursdays. I block that off so nobody can schedule anything. And if I don't want to get out of bed, I don't get out of bed. If I want to work on a project and make some huge headway in the business, then I use it for that. And if I want to release it back and just let it be filled up with appointments, I do that too. But first it's a hold, then I get the choice to pull it back. So bonus days.
Okay.
Go through your entire schedule and find all the fifth days of the week, whatever days, and put holds on them.
All the times there's a fifth Tuesday in the month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Uh-huh. This is great. My brain is working. Okay. So let's talk about the systems people need in their calendar for the various aspects of their business. How can people categorize what they need to calendar?
So when we were talking about Parkinson's law, tasks expand to the amount of time given. Well, that can work for you or against you. And Hillary's giving you tips financially of how to make it work for you, right? Like, move that money out of the checking account, like, protect it. And I'm going to say that's the strategy I was giving you, is like, move those days off of availability. You can pull them back if you need them, but you're protecting it. So the same thing to make Parkinson's Law work for you is to always look at what are the things that you absolutely need to make time for to allow you to achieve your goals. And I break those down into four areas. We can call them departments or buckets of time. And I believe that every business owner needs to show up at their highest value activity in one of these four areas. The first one is marketing and visibility. So think of this as, how do you let the world know what it is you do and how you can help them? And when you show up consistently in those areas, it overflows into the opportunity to have sales conversations. So specifically saying, I'd love to work with you. Are those consultations, discovery calls, proposals? What is that sales event or activity? And then the third one is servicing your clients. And so depending on what business you're in, you're the thing you're getting paid for. So for me, it's coaching, it's training, it's speaking. If you're a financial advisor, it's going to be giving them financial advice and meeting with them for strategy. And so making sure you have specific time that's revenue generating on your schedule first and foremost. And then the fourth area is leadership, because those areas of our business, the first three buckets, in addition to all the other things that it takes to run our business, it actually requires us to leverage through people. And hiring is not the end of leveraging. You need to show up and lead them and communicate with them and clearly delegate to them and have meetings. And unfortunately, what happens is that time gets squeezed out as not as much of a priority as the doing in our business on what is on our, as the business owner's, to-do list. But I would love to just help your audience reframe that to say, where else can you invest an hour and then get 30 hours of work, right? So that you invest an hour to have a one-on-one meeting, delegate, support, train them, and they can go do 30 hours of work for you or 20 hours of work for you.
That's good leverage.
That is really good leverage, right? So even if you double that, it's 2 hours, which might seem like, you know, oh my gosh, like I have to be in a meeting for 2 hours or twice a week, but you're getting so much more time back because you've given your team member what they need to succeed. And that's leadership.
Okay. When you started speaking, you said people need to show up in one of these four, but you actually meant all of them, right?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. All okay. of them on a recurring basis.
Yeah.
And when I meant one of these areas, meaning the question I get asked often, Hillary, is like, okay, so I want to be more productive, but what does productivity mean? Right? Like, what are my most productive activities?
Right. See, to me, productivity is doing stuff fast.
Oh, no, 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 because you could be doing the wrong things really, really fast. You could be really, really fast at running down the wrong, like the wrong road, right? It's not taking you or propelling you towards your goals.
It doesn't scale, because the faster I get, the more mistakes I make. And that's not good.
Right, right. And, you know, productivity is not actually getting everything on your to-do list done. I would venture to say, actually, one of the most productive things you can do is be decisive on what you're going to delete.
Right.
To allow that clarity and focus of what are the things I'm really going to show up in. And when I share these four areas, buckets, departments, right, for us to invest our best time in, is that the question lies, but my business requires so much more. There's so much more a business requires us to spend our time in. And that is true. And it doesn't mean they're not important. What that means is that, again, with Parkinson's Law, if you block out time on your schedule to ensure you show up consistently in these areas of your business, say on a weekly basis, everything else can fill in around it.
Right.
But what we normally do is start with all the other stuff. And then at the end of the day, we're like, oh, I didn't get that marketing project done. I didn't make that sales call. I squeezed out and rescheduled my team member, and now they're waiting for me to find something to do for the next 20 hours. And so it backfires and becomes incredibly frustrating.
To that point, I actually think a big portion of my business success stems from the first several years I forced myself to do the sales activities first. And so while I didn't have the systems that you're talking about, I was not that organized, but I didn't have a team to lead at that time, right? There's that book, Who Moved My Cheese, or something. I don't know. It's a book about doing the painful thing first. I didn't have to read the book. I got the lesson of the book. Someone said it to me. I was like, I'll do it. And it's paid off. So just complimenting you on that, or I guess acknowledging that point.
I think the book you're referring to is How to Eat the Frog. So like
Eat the Frog.
Yes. Okay. There you go. So it's like, how do you do the thing that even if you don't want to do it, you know, makes the biggest headway, right? And without getting into like a whole nother topic, is we all procrastinate. Everybody procrastinates, but we procrastinate different. And for some, we procrastinate on the thing that's really, really big. And so if you can train yourself to first know what that big thing is that will actually make an impact and figure out how to do that first when you have the most willpower, generally that's first thing in the morning of whatever your business morning is, then even if the rest of your day goes south, which it does, we live in a real world running real businesses, working with real people. So it's very likely it can, you've done something that has moved you forward in your business.
Yeah.
And that is really important, because if you can do that, even a little bit each day compounded has big impact on you reaching your goals.
Hillary here with a quick timeout to tell you how we can work together to improve and even make your financial life 100% organized and hassle-free. As a listener, you probably know my story. I made every money mistake in the book until I finally figured out the power of learning how to change my brain, including my beliefs about money. This allowed me to multiply my wealth to over 8 figures. And since then, I've created a done-for-you comprehensive course to teach other business owners exactly how I did it. I've also been a wealth and financial advisor to women and couples for more than 20 years now. If you think we may be a great fit to work together, go to hillaryhendershot.com and just start a conversation. We provide fee-only fiduciary advice to our clients, which means our clients never, ever pay commissions, and we do only what's in your best interest, just like it's supposed to be for all financial advisors. If you want to see how my team and I measure up as financial advisors, check out our Yelp reviews at hillaryhendershot.com/Yelp. All right, let's get back to the show. Those habits pay off in spades when you compound the results of those activities. Okay, so just to review, the 4 categories, and you said you have these color-coded on your calendar.
I did say that before we hit record.
You have marketing and visibility. I think we all know what that is. The blog post, the social, the email writing. 2 is sales, clearly asking for the order, making the offer. 3 is service, servicing the business that you've sold. And 4 is leadership or mentoring your team.
Yep.
Okay. Now, how do you think about, I just get overwhelmed when I look at my calendar and I think about all the little time blocks that are potentially in that day, all the combinatorics of how I could put that stuff on my calendar. And I just throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, yes, I have appointments on my calendar, but there's a lot of stuff that I try to fit in between the appointments that's not working great. So right. How do you think about that vis-a-vis email? Because there's email too.
Yes. So I actually schedule and recommend my clients to schedule time to be in their email and process their email. And, you know, for some of my clients, if you're an attorney, that's probably 4 times a day, even more, right? Like there's really time sensitive things. And then there's other clients that can get in and out 2 or 3 times a day. So the amount of times isn't as important. You make that work for you, but really being diligent to say, when I'm in my inbox, I'm in it. And when I'm not, I'm working. Like I'm really not distracted, because most people have the habit of having our inbox up all day, every day. And it's incredibly distracting. So to just speak to that is to, again, block out those times. And if you did that first, you'd realize you have a lot less time for appointments. And the irony is you always had a lot less time for appointments. You just kept squeezing out emails. And then that's what you're doing, you know, with a glass of wine after the kids go to bed or on the weekend, is like, oh gosh, when am I going to catch up on these emails?
You're a professional emailer.
You're right. because you are so busy in appointments. So that's one strategy. The other strategy that I love around appointments is that you have days that you take appointments. Maybe it's not 5 days a week. It's 4 days a week. You say there's one day that you're more like, I'm getting in there and getting some real work done, moving projects forward, or having that opportunity to do some deep work. And then all the other 4 days can be appointments. That's a strategy. So theming our days of when we're going to take appointments and not. Another one is actually making sure that it aligns with our personal energy management. So what I mean by that is I'm an extrovert, so I get energy by people. And an introvert gets energy by doing deep work. So that would be doing the emails, or, you know, not, emails, not deep work. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, I don't call that deep work, doing independent work. That's what I meant. Whatever that is, content creation, you're doing something behind the scenes. So introvert and extrovert generally means where you get energy. So I have really good energy in the morning. And to be honest, I have a natural lull in my energy in the afternoons. But what that means is that I actually book appointments from the end of my day up. So afternoons are appointments because it does not matter what's going on. I show up 100% for every time I'm in front of somebody, whether it's an interview or a client or whatever. But if I were to put on my calendar at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to write a sales email or to work on a new training program, me, the productivity specialist, could find every reason to talk herself out of it because my willpower is lower. My energy is less. I'm not able to show up my best. And so I let myself get distracted. Does this sound familiar to anyone listening? Mm-hmm. And so it may just be that you're putting the wrong type of activity at the wrong time of the day.
Mm. Okay. And then what about the idea of task switching? So I find it's hard for me to go from interviewing someone on a podcast like this to delivering a financial plan review. So if I was going right into a client meeting after this, it's like, it's hard on me. Do you think about that?
Yes. And it's hard on everyone. Honestly, we weren't really built to do that kind of task switching. Okay. And so because it takes so much more energy to switch, it's not that you won't, right? If you had a client to deliver a financial plan, like Hillary shows up, but afterwards you're exhausted. And if there was anything else after on your schedule, it's like, right. Right? Okay. I'm not just saying for you, it's for everyone. So again, I'm going to lean back to theme days. So for example, this is actually part of the conversation we had in Puerto Rico. You were saying something like, I don't understand that if you try to schedule an appointment with somebody and they say, I'm only available Tuesdays and Wednesdays for a podcast interview, right? I'm only available Mondays, Wednesday afternoons, and Fridays if I work a Friday for interviews. And the reason is because I give it all. Like I am very extroverted. I'm going to go all in on the interview. And if I tried to do that on a day that I also had to serve my clients, I don't think I'd be able to show up for my clients as well. So you don't get a Tuesday or Thursday because those are my private coaching days.
Right.
So I really look at the energy management of that, of saying, okay, so can I batch same like tasks or projects together? And anytime you can do that more on purpose, you will have more flow in your day and your energy will go further because it takes a lot of energy, mental bandwidth to switch from one type of task to the next.
Yeah. So let's say you have the opportunity to do you're launching a new offer and this one podcaster just won't have you on any other day than a Tuesday. Do you do it?
Yes, unless I have to reschedule a private coaching client. So I don't have appointments all day. So I have my mornings available. Absolutely. So one of the things with boundaries is that sometimes we don't stick to them or even create them because we think they're too structured. And I want to say there's a lot of freedom to it because you get to choose when you break or make an exception. I like to say make an exception for your own boundaries. Mm-hmm. I absolutely make exceptions and I'm really clear when I do. And there's no resentment. It's like, I chose that. And using the words, I chose to make an exception, is so empowering.
Yeah.
Versus it just happened. It just is. And now I got to show up for this schedule that doesn't serve me.
Okay. So you said you don't make appointments all day.
Yep. So my coaching clients start at 11 o'clock.
So then before 11, you're not doing email, but you are doing things like writing newsletter articles or maybe scripting a solo podcast episode. That's when you're doing your creative work. Is that right?
Yep. So any kind of content creation or things off of my to-do list that are determined that need to get done for the day or the week. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I just want to correct you really quick. I actually do process my emails in the morning. So this may sound counterproductive, right? And so I just want to share this. There's no shame in processing our emails in the morning. I think we hear that tip or strategy of like, don't get in your inbox. What I wish they would say is don't get in your inbox if you don't have the discipline to get out of your inbox. And
I should have to turn over the keys to my email. I'm never out, ever, not ever.
Right. And so I get in it because it's for me to get in, get to process, close the loop. I know what's going on. And that works better for me to go into deep work is not to wonder what's in my inbox. So dealing with it and processing it. So I schedule 30 minutes to be in, process it, do what I need to do. And then I get out and start my high value activities for the day.
Okay. All right. So let's say there's a process that you used to run. It's your company. You hire someone, you delegate that process to them. Do you have them continue to copy you on the emails so that you can QC it, so that you know it's happening?
Yeah, great question. So I think of each person on our team having like a trust bank that needs to be filled up. And so when I first hire you, that bank is empty. I don't really know if you're going to represent me correctly, write the right emails, the words, whatever. And so my goal is to get that trust bank as full as quickly as possible. And if we are filling it up and then it's getting debited, that's a whole nother conversation, but probably they're not the right fit. But let's just say we get the trust tank filled. Then I literally release them and I say, I no longer need to see your work, or I no longer need to be CC'd on emails. I remember my executive assistant, I had a game plan for how long I thought I was going to need to be reviewing her stuff. And I got so excited that her trust tank was filled super fast that it just like came rumbling out of my mouth. We got a good laugh out of it. And I was like, the leash is off. And I was like, you don't say that to employees. You don't say that to team members. But what I meant is, this is our baby. This is our business, right? And so when we build our team, like we do have a leash. We need to see, like, are they using the right words and are they representing us correct? And then one day you're like, I actually am so thankful you've gifted me back that bandwidth. I don't need to see everything you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. And then are there other deliverables or ways that you manage your business? One thing, for example, I have found to be massively helpful for myself is rather than manage my business from inside my email inbox, I've started keeping a list of current projects. Each person on my team who's working on what, I update that list in our one-on-ones. It's a one place where I have high level oversight into what the heck is happening. And I actually read through the projects list at the team meeting so that everyone knows what's happening and like that. I have found that to be super helpful. Anything awesome like that for you? I mean, I just made that up. You're the productivity specialist. Maybe you have something way better.
I actually have something super similar. So we actually use a task management, project management program called ClickUp. Mm-hmm. And inside ClickUp, they have these things called dashboards as well. So each person on my team has a dashboard and I keep their projects on there and also the agenda for our meetings. And then also it's a digital notes. So as I'm going through my week and I'm like, oh, I want to talk to, you know, Sabrina about this and Lacey about this, I just go to their dashboard and write it down on the agenda. And now the agenda is created in real time. So that's not something else that shows up on my to-do list. And now we go through the dashboard, like you said, projects and anything that I wanted to bring up to them. So very similar. I love that.
Very great. Okay. So 9 weeks off, 3-day weekends, bonus days, 4 categories of stuff in your calendar: marketing, sales, service, and leadership, which of course comes after all your personal time off.
Yes.
This is aspirational.
This is great. So then, you know, if you want to work up to say the 9 weeks, right? It's this green light, red light of like, let's say you can do 2 weeks with your current team and the way things work. But what if you learned how to leverage yourself, discipline, mindset? What if you learned how to leverage people on your team or even people in your personal life so that you had more time in the business, right? So that's where the STOP comes from, is that when you learn how to leverage all of these areas, self, time, organization, and people, is that it becomes much more of a reality that you can take more time off or, you know, choose the lifestyle you want. Like,
right,
my goal was more time off. Your goal, whomever is listening today, that may not be your goal. Your goal is like, I want to get home 3 nights a week to have family dinner. Like, that is a real reason my clients work with me. They're like, Amber, if I don't get this together in my business, like, I might get divorced. Like, that is the reality of some where people are at. So don't get stuck on the 9 weeks of vacation. There's a line from anywhere that you're currently at all the way to 9 weeks or even more. But why do you want to be more productive? My guess is it's a combination of increased profitability, mm-hmm, less stress, and truly feeling guilt-free time to do what matters most, which generally isn't the things we find in our business.
Right. One thing I've noticed that's been a little bit surprising to me is I take my evenings off to spend with Harlan. I mean, I probably spend 2/3 to a half the time working that I used to, like a half. And I still feel like there's things I don't get done. I am proud of myself as a mom, as a wife. Like, I don't have that conversation of, oh, maybe I'm not there. Maybe I'm not present. Maybe she doesn't know me. Maybe I'm not being a sufficient mom. I know I am. Right. And so that I feel good about. I love in life not having regrets.
Yes. You know, so in one of the methodologies that I teach is called the AND method, and it's about creating the, I'm going to reach this business goal and have nights off with Harlan, or and to be able to take a girls trip to Puerto Rico twice this year. I'm just putting it out there, Hillary. Whatever that looks like is, if you first create it and say, what does it look like? And not either or, then you back it into, now you create the plan that allows for that to happen. But many of us say we're going to create goals in our business, and then we don't look at the personal, or we create goals that are, they're fighting for, right? Like, I have these big goals in business, but I also want to have 9 weeks off and time at night with my family. Well, unless you're going to learn how to build a team and do all of that right. They're fighting each other. So it really starts with the plan and then making it happen over time.
It's the reality of whenever you want something new to come out of your business or to up level, you have to learn to do something you've never done before. It really is something.
Right.
Let's talk about, you have a masterclass coming up. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, thank you. So we have a masterclass. It's called Full Speed Ahead Masterclass, How to Achieve Any Goal You Set. And it's going down on September 23rd. And you can join us by going to amberdelagarza.com/full-speed-ahead.
Awesome. I will be talking more about your masterclass on social media. If you are listening, you can tell by the wisdom bombs that Amber is dropping that this really is her bailiwick. She does this all day long. Productivity is the key and the foundation to everything, every single business. It is ubiquitous in business. You can't be successful without it. So I highly recommend you take part in our masterclass. Amber, I'm sure you have your daily schedule just mapped out. So I will we'll let you get off the call. No, seriously. Thank you for joining us. I love that I finally got to interview. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
As we wrap things up here for today, I need to review with you the things I have to disclose as a fiduciary financial advisor offering wealth management services through my firm, Hendershot Wealth Management, LLC. You should know that the opinions I express on Profit Boss Radio are my own, and they can change. The content I provide in the show is for general education. It's not intended as specific investment advice, nor do I recommend any specific financial products. Unlike how I roll at home with my husband, I can't guarantee that my statements, opinions, or forecasts are always 100% right. Of course, I wish I could peek into that proverbial crystal ball, but so far, I haven't found it. Past performance is not indicative of future results. I talk a lot about indexes, and I want you to know you can't actually buy an index because, of course, when you take a list of companies and create a product that allows people to invest in those companies, there are fees and expenses involved that reduce returns. Remember, all investing involves risk, which, as you know, means you could lose your money. And I have to tell you that there is no guarantee that any investment plan or strategy will be successful. And that should keep my lawyers happy. Have a great day.